What is the culture of your organization? What is the culture of your organization? And so if we're talking about all these changes and the behavior that needs to change, the mindset that needs to change, the action that needs to change, I think it's important to align that with culture. And so how do you build a winning culture? What if we start there? Think about it. When you think about some of the greatest teams on the planet that have ever existed, what makes those teams great? The best teams on the planet could be a real estate team, could be a sports team, could be what, pick a team. The best teams, the greatest teams to ever do it. It is very clear to me what makes those teams great. It's their culture. So let's think about it. Are we talking about a culture of people that are lazy, people that cut corners, people that make excuses? Nope. What are we talking about? A winning culture that encourages personal growth, that encourages excellence, that has high standards, that encourages you to be the best version of yourself each and every day. You see, I believe a strong culture is what separates good from great. And think about it from a team perspective. And this could be for yourself too, right? Maybe you're not on a team, but this still applies. So stay with me here. Strong culture is what separates a good business or a good team from a great one. And I'm telling you, the difference from average to good is like an inch. But the difference between good and great is like 100 miles. It's that big of a difference. It's easy to go from average to good. It's easy to go from brand new to average. Those are easy. Those are an inch gap each. But when you want to go from good to great, we're talking a 100-mile leap. It takes time. And what separates those? What is the success of those great teams? I say all the time, success leaves clues. What has their success taught us? They all have a great, strong culture. Now, I think a winning culture and a great culture and a strong culture is sometimes misinterpreted. A great culture, a strong culture, isn't a culture of gossip, isn't a culture of, well, everyone's comfortable. A great culture is, hey, we're a family. We love each other. We support each other, but we realize we have shit to do. We got a job to do, and we're going to execute at a high level. That's what winners do. That's what a great culture does. When you think about it, I use this analogy a lot. Like, our culture is a ship, right? Maybe you have a canoe. I had a rowboat and a canoe at one point, and there was holes everywhere, and I was the only one with a paddle. But when you bring someone in your canoe, into your boat, are they rowing? Give them a paddle, and everyone that is on the boat needs to be committed to rowing the boat. Are they either rowing the boat, and are they rowing in the right direction, or are we rowing in circles? Or maybe, intentionally or unintentionally, are they drilling holes in the boat? What would that look like in a real estate business? Let's say you roll out a new standard that is important for everyone in this marketplace. Because after all, let's say that it's a new standard of activity that is required. Agents, I'm going to break some news to you. Your leader doesn't determine the action that is required. The market does. And your leader has zero influence over that. And so instead of being mad at your leader for those standards, maybe you should look in the mirror and be like, wow, I'm so glad I'm with an organization. I'm in a winning culture. I've got a leader that cares enough to increase the standard so that I can hit my goals that I set out for myself and my family. And I think about like this ship analogy. When you have a winning culture, everyone grabs a paddle and everyone is rowing. And when everyone rows, the boat moves a lot faster. That's how you dominate. And it all starts with culture. So let's talk about winning culture. I'm going to dive into this. A lot of times we think maybe our culture isn't where it needs to be, and it's because of the people that we hired. The reality is, there could be some truth to that, but most of the time, that's not true. Because most humans, most people want to win. It's like something that we're born with. Think about a kid that's in kindergarten and they're running a race. They're playing tag. They're playing kickball in school. They want to win. We're born with it, right? And so there's very few people that are born without that instinct to win. So more than likely, it's not your team. It's not your approach. Or sorry, it's not your team. It's not the people that you hire. It could be your approach. It could be how you're organizing the team. It could be how you are establishing the culture. And the good news is, if that is the problem, that also means that you can fix it. So I've broken this down in a couple steps. Number one, how do you build a winning culture? You show your team how to win. Most people want to win, but they haven't ever been shown how. In addition to that, I think mindset is important. I've said it for a long time now, is everything starts with mindset. But I've been debating internally, and I've shared it on this show before. I think that equally as important in today's world, and maybe at times even more important than your mindset, is your environment. Because some people have never been in an environment that has allowed them to win. Think about it, whether it's their childhood, whether it's their last workplace, whatever it may be. And I'm not saying let's point the finger. You guys know me, that you've listened to the show. I accept full personal responsibility for everything. And I encourage you to do the same. But let's be real. Not all environments are created equal. And so maybe that person has never been in an environment where they've been shown how to win or that allows them to win. So make sure your business has that. Provide that. Teach your team how to win. Show them how their role, how their efforts will help them win, help them progress, and the team and the company progress. When you invest in the people grow the company. You have to grow people. Like an example is, I'm probably going to butcher this, but like Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. I think it's a great restaurant. I think it's great food. But one of the things that really stands out to me in a world of fast food that is just terrible, terrible service. When you go to Chick-fil-A, they're over the top customer service. And the I did some research on them on where that comes from. And their CEO shared that we're not a fast food restaurant. We are a human development company. We develop people. We develop leaders. We develop character in people. We just happen to sell chicken. We just happen to be a restaurant, a fast food restaurant. So think about that for a minute. What is the difference in Chick-fil-A service versus McDonald's service? It's the culture, the leadership. It's the standards. You can have the same people work at both places. And which environment will that person excel in? And I'm not like talking crap on McDonald's. My kids love McDonald's, right? I'm just using that as an example. The service is not the same. It's not created equal. And so it's really important that you invest in your people. Number two, this is simple, right? But establish a set of core values. Winning culture requires winning values, winning principles. And these core values aren't just something you put on the wall. It's not just something that you talk about once a year. You have to understand, you have to believe in your core values. You have to have a definition of what they mean, and you have to share them. You have to hire by them. You have to fire by them. You have to promote by them. You have to, like, the core values are at the fundamental of everything that you do. You congratulate by them. You reprimand by them. You improve and coach by them. Everything is around your core values. So be sure that those are clear and those are not a one-time thing. Most people think a culture is, well, I established core values. They're on the wall. Everyone knows them. How often are you communicating them? I made a commitment. I will talk to someone or multiple people on my team every single day about a core value. It's that important. Every day. It's so important. Every team meeting, we end with core values. We read a definition of our core values. We ask how that has helped impact someone's life. It's super important. Every winning culture has core values. Number three, create a competitive environment. Competitive environment. And some people may say, well, Matt, that doesn't work. Some of my agents don't like competition. Cool. Maybe they won't make it. If they can't handle a little competition within people that want them to win, how are they going to handle the competitive landscape of the market right now? Now, I'm not saying unhealthy competition, but I'm saying if you had an NFL team, if you're coaching them, what's your goal? To win. And if you don't win, guess what? You don't have a job. And let's say I'm a professional coach. Who are the people that play? The best players. That's what I put in because it's my job to win as the coach. So why do we treat business differently? I don't think we should. I don't care how long Susie, I don't care how long Bob or Bill or whoever's been with the company. I don't care if they're my best friend. It doesn't matter. It is my responsibility. It is the team's responsibility to put in the person that can do the job the best. And I think that the society that I look at of people that like, hey, I've got tenure. I've been at the company for 5 years. I should get a raise. Or are you doing your job at a higher level than you were 5 years ago? If the answer is no, and you're just comfortable and you just show up and clock in and clock out and you think that deserves a raise, guess what? You're probably going to be working somewhere else and not with my company. Because we level up. We have a culture and a standard of excellence. Everyone's excellence is different. Everyone's version of success is different. It's not you versus everyone else. It's you versus you. But we're growing. We're a growth environment. We encourage people to chase better. Uncomfortable is good. You got to be uncomfortable so you can grow. That's where growth comes from. So just think about it as if you were leading a sports team, that's how you should lead your team. Excuse me. And if you're in a company that has that competitive environment, embrace it, lean in. Don't cower down and think, oh, that's not for me. I don't like competition. There may be exceptions to this, but my opinion is if you're someone that says you don't like competition, it means that you don't believe in yourself, that you will keep the commitment to do what you know needs to be done to win this competition. And so instead of being uncomfortable and losing, you just don't even put yourself in the game. And I think that's a sad life to live. And I hope this encourages you and inspires you to put your name in the hat. You can't win if you don't play. You see, in our environment, I'm not judging people if they don't win the competition. I'm encouraging them to enter the competition. I'm encouraging them to show up as the best version of themselves. But what we do is we find something that they did really well, something where they did show up, something where they improved. We get them stack some wins, that consistency that wins. So we talked about creating a competitive environment. Competition is great. Like, it's something that I think is really, really important for a real estate environment. Because a lot of sales environments are unhealthy competition and people take from others hoping that that gives them more. And the opposite is actually true. The more you give to others, the more you also receive. And it's so important that you have a competitive environment where other people want to win. They want to win the competition. They want to beat the other person. But at the end of the day, we're here to serve the team and we're here to serve the community. And so if I'm going to beat Susie or Susie's going to beat me in this competition and it takes me to go out of my way to help Susie with that client that's going to be the one that beats me, I can't wait to help Susie. And I'm proud of her. And I'm glad that she did all that work. Yep, I wish I could have won. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to help Susie, even if it's the one that beats me. That competitive, that healthy competitive environment will help really grow your organization. All right. I think I want to give the other perspective. Sorry for the delay. Again, I said I'm brain dumping out here, so I'm thinking out loud. So one of the things that popped in my head as I was speaking through that is I talked about how people maybe expect a raise because they've been at a job for a certain amount of time. I think that's just bullshit. I don't think it's reality. And I think that someone having the mindset, oh, I've been here longer, so I deserve more, is not always accurate. I also think someone saying, hey, if you pay me more, I'll do more, is just the wrong mindset to have. Here's what winners know. And here's what winners do, is they do more than what is expected. They show up every day and think, how can I contribute to the growth of the organization? How can I make my position better? How can I bring so much value to the table that it would be a detriment if they were to ever lose me? I want to become more valuable, and then I become valued. And so if you just come up with that mindset and you're in the right environment, those things will be rewarded more than you could ever imagine. Because so many people are showing up and they're doing the bare minimum. And they're thinking, what can I take versus what can I give? And givers gain. those that believe in the law of reciprocity, those that continually show up and contribute because it's the right thing to do, are the ones that will win, not only today, but for the long term. And it's so important that you show up and you have an environment of that, whether it's an operations member, whether it's marketing, whether it's front desk, whether it's an agent, it does not matter. And here's a phrase that I learned from John Cheplak that I share all the time. The whole is bigger than the part. When the part serves the whole, the part receives back tenfold. Say one more time. The whole is bigger than the part, meaning the team is bigger than your position. The team is bigger than my position. I say it all the time. This whole thing outgrew me a long time ago. So the whole is bigger than the part. But when the part serves the whole, the part receives back tenfold. And if that is your mantra and you continually do that, you will see life-changing story after life-changing story after life-changing story. Like, as an example, if you're a leader listening to this, you're no longer in the transaction business. You're in the human development, human resource, human attraction business. You can't build anything great without great people. And I think so many times we shoot past the target, and a lot of leaders right now are missing the people part. Are you building depth of relationship? Are you challenging those that need to be challenged? Are you being empathetic through these changes and realizing that it takes time for them to change? Moving on to my next notes and my brain dump is I've thought about when I was going through this, I'm like, what about confidence? I think some agents are maybe struggling with confidence right now. And so maybe that's you or maybe it's not. But what is confidence? I believe confidence is built. I believe confidence is earned. No one can give you confidence. You have to go out and earn it. And how do you earn confidence? It's really simple to me. By following through and keeping the promises that you made to yourself. Confidence is built. Confidence is earned by following through and keeping the promises that you made to yourself. And so if you're lacking confidence, I would encourage you to go back. Go watch your game film and ask yourself, have I really followed through to what I said I would do? If I'm lacking confidence in this marketplace, is it really because of the interest rates? Is it really because of the NAR settlement? Is it really because of lack of inventory? Whatever. Is it really because my team leader is a jerk? Is it really because these leads are bad? Is it really because the person across the street will give me 2.8% more commission on my sales? Whatever stupid thing that sometimes we think of. And maybe there's some truth to some of those. I don't know. But I'm just encouraging you to go back and look at that and ask, if I'm lacking confidence right now, have I really done my part to earn the confidence that I'm seeking by following through on the promises I made to myself? Guys, I'm telling you right now, that is a hack. And so how can you make a promise that you can actually keep today and then do it again tomorrow and then do it again the next day? You see, all of us want to win the year. But in order to win the year, you have to win enough months. In order to win enough months, you have to win enough weeks. In order to win enough weeks, you have to win enough days. And so the year doesn't matter if you don't win the day today. What is your daily minimum standard of activity you need to do today? And did you execute, yes or no? It's really, really simple. But we want to have this big calculus equation and this big business plan that's overly sophisticated. And it's not a business plan you're after. A lot of these sexy business plans are a replacement for lack of execution. You want confidence? Go out and execute. That's where the magic is. And that led me to another thought. One of our core values is integrity. And we all know the definition of integrity, right? It's doing the right thing when no one's looking. My definition is doing the right thing, especially when no one is looking. When you know that no one's going to find out that you just cut that corner, are you going to cut that corner? Or are you going to still do it the right way? So, integrity, it has a hidden meaning in our organization. There's a word inside of integrity that we use as a core value as well. It's called grit, G-R-I-T. Do you have the perseverance? Do you have the will? Are you willing to get punched in the mouth and get back up and do it all over again? You see, I think the number one determining factor in whether someone is going to be successful in real estate or not is grit. It takes grit. This industry is not all sunshine and rainbows. Deals fall apart. Clients hang up on you. When we're dealing with people in the public and we're in a sales position, it's tough. I love it. Wouldn't trade it for the world. But I also am willing to get punched in the mouth and get back up and do it all over again. Do you have the grit that it takes? And if not, guess what? You aren't born with it. It's a learned trait. It's a learned skill. You can learn it. So you got to have grit. But integrity. I want to take a different perspective on integrity. Those are the just like kind of the baselines of integrity and what it means to me. But for this talk specifically, are you acting in integrity with yourself? Too many times we think of integrity of what other people think. But are you acting in integrity with yourself? So as an example, going back to building confidence, if I said I'm going to do X today, I'm going to do ABC today. Are you in integrity with yourself that you actually follow through and commit to that? Or are you out of integrity with yourself? And then you say, how come I don't have confidence? Well, I'd have confidence if I had better leads. Better leads don't give you confidence. Are you acting in integrity with yourself? Another thought. So many people say they want their goals. They say they want this. They say they want that. A lot of times, I think it's just talk. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it is. Either way, I hope this helps you. Do you really want your goals? Or are they just something that you say so that you can fit in and it makes you feel better to say it to someone else? Because I believe that actions speak louder than words. And so if you really wanted that, if you really wanted that goal, if you really wanted that for your family, you would find a way, not an excuse. Actions speak louder than words. You see, I don't believe what people say. I believe what they do. So I'm going to give you an exercise. If you were to go back, and let's pretend you had a GoPro on for the last 90 days. If you were to go back and watch the game film of the actions that you took over the last 90 days, that would actually tell you what your goals are because of the actions you took. I don't care what you say. What did you do? What did you do? What are your goals based upon the actions you took? If a stranger was to analyze and watch the actions you took, would they be in alignment with the goals that you say that you want? When you do that exercise, I believe one or two things will happen for each and every one of you. Number one, and I hope this is true for you, it'll make you so damn proud of yourself for the work you're putting in and day out, and it'll inspire you to keep going because your game film and your goals, they match up perfectly. But there's an option number two. As you're doing this exercise, you may realize there's a gap. But it's okay. There's a gap. Growth is in the gap. We all have gaps. It's cool. Now you're aware of it. What are you going to do about it? You either change your goals or you change your actions. I hope this helps you. I think a lot of people are wishing that the market was easier. And you're shooting at the wrong target. I don't want you to wish it was easier. I want you to wish that you became better. Because nobody can ever take that away from you. And I hope this podcast is just a little bit that helps you become that better today.